And if we'd open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 55. Reading from verse 6. Isaiah 55, reading from verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he abundantly will pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down in snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and bringeth forth, and maketh it to bud forth, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I purposed, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. Let us bow our heads in prayer. The gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, and knowing that your word is true, let all men's words be a lie and yours be true, saith the Lord. Be with us tonight, Father, as we take another study from the Christ as a mystery of God revealed. And we pray, Father, you'd help us, Lord, as we lay ourselves open before thy word. And we ask, Father, for a better understanding, but not so much an understanding, not so much in our minds, but, Father, in our hearts. May we become so one with thee in thy word that we become conformed to the image of your firstborn son, for we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. From questions and answers, Brother Branham said, you've got to repent and die daily to live in Jesus Christ. So every day, you've got to die every day to live in Christ Jesus. And don't ever forget that to repent, because he says you've got to repent and die daily. Don't ever forget that repentance is a change of the mind. You'll never make it with your own mind. From Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 14, we read, O Jerusalem, wash thine heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? So God looks upon our thoughts as being vain. And of course, vain means useless. From Sirs, we would see Jesus, Brother Brown says, so if we ourselves, then in our own ministry, and in our thoughts, and in our life, if we abide as we are, we can do no good. We've got to also die at the altar, or we'll live alone. We'll live to some denominational or some creed. We'll live to some organization. But if we die to ourselves, and the Holy Spirit will spread forth everywhere by our lips. But we've got to die. We must realize that we've got to die in order to bring forth new life. So he said so much in this. If you want to see me, you must die to yourself, and then you'll bring forth new life. Now, Brother Branham is quoting Jesus there, kind of a paraphrase, if you might. In Proverbs 16, verse 3, we read, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. We're looking at a thought tonight, that you can't be right by thinking your own thoughts. We've simply got to just lay our thoughts aside. If our thoughts are established right, then they will be rightly wise. Proverbs 12 and 5 says, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. And so what distinguishes a righteous man from a wicked man? It's his thoughts first, and then his actions. In Psalm 10 and verse 4, David said, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all of his thoughts. Now, Brother Branham has taught us a simple principle that before you can actually do the sinful act in your flesh, you must first have to think it in your mind. Therefore, the greatest battle ever fought is in the mind, where the seeds of righteousness and unrighteousness are sown. And remember, both those seeds are there. You know, Brother Bram, quoting Martin Luther, said, you know, the devil will come in to your tree like a bird. Just don't let him make a nest. Now, since we know that God created man in his own image, then we must also consider that just as God brings forth into manifestation his own thoughts and his own desires of his heart, so does man do the same thing. From the water of separation, he said, it's an individual affair. It's not of groups of people, but it's to you as an individual, that you yourself as a sole human being might notice, might forsake your own thoughts. As long as you have your own thoughts, your own ways, your ways are contrary to God's ways, and you cannot be right and think your own thoughts. For you've got to die to your own thoughts. And that's actually what we're going to subtitle the sermon tonight, is you cannot be right and think your own thoughts. Now notice there's two things here. He says, number one, you can't be right. And that's the heart and the mind. And then do right. And that's the action that comes forth from your thinking. So you can't do right, and you can't, you know, if you're not thinking right, you can't do right. Jeremiah 6 and 19 tells us, hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but they've rejected it. So God will take the fruit of their own thinking and bring it back on them. From Sirs, we would see Jesus, Brother Ram said, a real disciple says, you've got to die. How do I know when I'm dead? Now, this is very good here. How do I know when I'm dead? When you recognize all this word to be the truth, then the word begins to live in you. Well, you say, but our church teaches. I don't care what your church teaches. It's what the Bible says. So it is not just being able to recognize, because he says, how do I know when I'm dead? When you can recognize all of this word to be true. And when the word begins to live in you. So it's not just being able to recognize the word, but to actually do what you recognize. As Brother Bram said in his sermon, hearing, recognizing, and acting upon the word of God. And let's face it, unless you hear, you cannot recognize. And unless you recognize, you cannot act upon the word of God. And faith comes by hearing. And it's not just the hearing with your ears that we're talking about, because Jesus said in Matthew 13, if you'd open your Bibles with me, Matthew 13, we're going to read from verse 10 to 17. And the disciples came and they said unto him, why do you speak unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. You know, we have seen more in this hour than at any age. Blessed are you, because he said many prophets have desired to see what you've seen, and yet they haven't seen it. From letting off the pressure, Brother Ram said, the name of the Lord is a mighty tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Now, you can't come through some creed or something like that. You've got to die and come to it. You've got to walk into it and die to yourself and raise anew. And then every word of God becomes a reality. Could you imagine a man having the baptism of the Holy Spirit that's wrote the Bible and then say the days of miracles is past? Could you imagine a man, no matter how deep he is in theology or whatever more, deny the very word of the Bible that the Holy Ghost wrote and say the Holy Ghost is in him? Well, in other words, if you have wrong thinking, you're wrong, period. And your actions would be wrong. Your speech would be wrong. The things you teach would be wrong. From Psalms 33 and verse 11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generation. So there's only one mindset that's worth having, that the mind that was in Christ be in you. From the Message, why, Brother Branham said, now we know that any birth is a mess. I don't care if it's in a pig pen or if it's in a pink decorated hospital room. Any birth is a mess, and the new birth is nothing less. It's a mess. That's right. It'll make you boo-hoo and cry and carry on like you was in an awfulest mess that you ever was in. But it'll do you good. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and dies, it abides alone. And the people don't want to die. You catch what he's saying here? You've got to die, but the people don't want to die. You want to be alive in the world, and still you want to be religious. So you accept an intellectual conception of it, and then when you do that, you're still dead in your sin and trespasses. And that's what makes people act and do the way that they do, because the spirit that's in them dominates their life. They say, well, other people do this. Well, you're not like other people. You are dead, and your life is hid in God through Christ and sealed by the Holy Ghost. See, you didn't try the toxin. It's just because the people don't want to try it. Now, you've got to die. You've got to rot. That's the trouble. That's the trouble of people. Instead of going up to the altar and get some kind of sensation and jump up and down and shake hands with the preacher and go out and get some kind of a dogma or creed and recite it and say, I belong to so-and-so, I belong to so-and-so, but are you a Christian? Well, I'm so-and-so. A Christian is Christ-like. Christ-like is to believe the word. And if you don't believe the word, then he can't be Christ-like. How can you say that you're a Christian and deny half of the word? If the Holy Spirit wrote the word, the Holy Spirit confirms the word, and the Holy Spirit is the word, and the word abiding in you brings God's promises to every believer, amen, the word means so be it. And I believe it with all my heart. It's the word of the living God, amen. Notice, yes, the new birth, they don't want to die, so they substituted something for the new birth. In other words, they come to the place where they say, well, I believe. That's it. That's good enough. When the word becometh flesh, an India trip, Brother Branham said, now you can express it by mental conception. But if it becomes a real revelation of God, that you see it before it happens and express it in word form, that the word takes a hold and becomes a material, a thought expressed. Oh my. How God could, and if your heart and your mind is so infilled with God's Spirit until your thoughts become his thoughts. Amen. There you are. When your mind and your leading and your guiding becomes a direct place or a direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit that's moving your mortal being, oh my, what kind of people should we be? If the very Holy Spirit has you so embodied or empowered that you don't use your own thoughts, you don't use your own mind, you don't use your own opinion, but the Holy Spirit has you so built until your thoughts and your being is God's Spirit expressing itself through you, what kind of a church would we be? What kind of a people would we be this morning? If this Branham Tabernacle this morning was so filled with the presence of God, why, when you didn't even use your own mind, didn't even use your own thoughts, didn't even have no alternative of your own, but just to be led by the Spirit. I remember we preached the message last Wednesday, completely, totally dead. And we talked about how when he went to the cross, he died once for all. When he came back, he didn't have to die again. It was done. Now, we showed you the identification of a Christian and how when a Christian identifies so much with Christ that he's willing to die to self first, because that's the first thing, repent, die to self. Then when you're buried in baptism, you have the promise of coming up out of the water in newness of life. And as Brother Vail told me, he says, when a person is baptized correctly, according to Acts 2:38, God is obligated to fill them the minute they come up, because that's resurrection. So then if you are living by Christ, if it is him living in you, then when you have a burden on your heart and you don't know where it came from, that's not you. So when you ask in his name, It's no different than Jesus himself going to his Father and asking. I like that. That ought to give us faith. That ought to give us confidence. From wisdom's faith versus faith, Brother Brown said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, see? And the Word was in God. It was God. It was his thoughts that was in him always. There, see, God's thoughts is an eternal, is as eternal as God is. Amen. That ain't skim milk, brothers. See, here it comes. God's thoughts was his Word. In the beginning, that's in eternity now. When beginning first started time, in the beginning was the Word, God's thoughts, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. See, his thoughts is what he was. That's you too. What your thoughts is what you are. No matter what you try to live by, something else, your thoughts is what you are. You might go along and act like a nice fellow, but in your heart, you're an adulteress, or whatever it is. That's what you are, your thoughts. And God's thoughts was his Word. That was with him and in him, and it was God. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that Word was made flesh. God's thoughts was expressed in a human body, made flesh and dwelled among us. There you are. So what we're looking at then is Brother Brown saying, look, if God is his Word, then you are also what you think, and you are your own Word. From spiritual adoption, he says, in order to stay with God, stay gentle. I might bear repeating. In order to stay with God, stay gentle. God is gentle. In order to stay with God, stay with love. For God is love. Stay meek. Stay selfless. Don't never be self-sufficient. Always rely upon him. Never use your own mind, but take his thoughts. Let his thoughts be your thoughts. And take them into your carnal mind and repeat them over and over. And say, oh God, take all of my doubt away and let my thoughts be your thoughts. And you sick people do that as you're speaking. Just take away, cast away the thoughts of sickness. Take God's healing thoughts. Let them become your thoughts. Think upon these things. The Bible said, if there be any promises, if there be any praise, think on these things. From the Word Became Flesh in India trip, Brother Brown said, it's got to be a change. Here it is, a change of the heart. Not of a physical being, but the heart of your soul, in something anchoring, till your thoughts that way is dull, you don't see that no more. You just see the Lord Jesus. You see righteousness and holiness and purity and love and grace. That's when you've been changed. What is a convert? Well, convert means to change something over, and your thoughts, your habits, your being has been changed from sinner to a Christian. The first thing you know. You know it in your heart, then you express it with your lips, and then it materializes, and that's what you are. Now, if you think that you think, what a word. Now, if you think that you think it, what a word, but you imagine you think it, and you express it, and it doesn't materialize, then you're on the wrong road. You get it? Maybe I better talk a little slower. Look, if you imagine you're a Christian, and you speak it out with your lips, but you find out that you're not, you better get your thoughts changed. Get your heart changed, see? Because it doesn't bear the record, it doesn't bear fruit of it. But the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness, peace, long-suffering, goodness, mercy, faith. If every little thing comes along and you fly up at it, better be careful. There's something hasn't happened. You're expressing something here. Here, but not here, he says. And again, from the same message, Word Became Flesh in India trip, paragraph 82, he says, our thoughts run different. A lot of the times we walk up and say, how do you do, brother? But you don't mean it in your heart. A lot of times we say, I am this and I'm that. I'll do that. But you don't mean it in your heart, see? I don't mean it in my heart. But when you can become so dead to the things of the world that Christ is first, Christ is all, then your entire makeup is of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, then he has full control. That's when your thoughts will be clean. That's when your thoughts will be pure in your heart. And from the balm in Gilead. Now we take a grain of corn, put it in the ground. It may be pretty corn, a pretty grain of corn, all polished up, looks real nice. But as long as it remains in that condition, that's all that it'll ever be, is a pretty grain of corn. Sometimes we join church, a lot of pretty things in it and so forth. Maybe we try to pretty ourselves up to go to church, get a new something or another to wear to church. Is that all that church means to you? Then I'm persuaded that you need a new birth. It's exactly right. The grain of corn will never produce any life until the old grain rots away first. And a person at the altar can't get down there and kneel down and then get up and say, well, I've got the new birth. You have to stay there until all of your thoughts of your own self and all of your worldly things have rotted away from you, dead and rotten and gone from you. Then new birth takes place. Oh, you might slobber and jabber and slobber like a horse eating clover, but you come up from there in a new condition with a new birth and something in you that's alive and made you something different from what you was. When a birth comes in, it cannot come in until there's first a death. And people don't want to die. They don't want the simple leading of the Holy Spirit. They want to take their own thinking of it. You can't think your own thoughts. You've got to think His thoughts. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. Amen. He thinks God's thoughts, brings God's blessings, God's power to you. And it'll make a mess out of you as far as the world is concerned, but it'll bring new life. It'll bring resurrecting life. It'll bring new thoughts. It'll bring a new person. It'll bring a new faith. It'll bring you from death unto life. Now, all these quotes that we're reading from Brother Branham are saying basically one thing, and that's there's got to be death first. There's got to be complete a desire in your heart to want to die, and you want to get rid of everything and want to live only by Him. From Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, He says, now, here's what happens. When a man starts out, he will go to reasoning. He will go to the schools of theology. And he will go from church to church and wonder if this has got the truth or if that one's got the truth. Or he will take his membership from one church to another. You should never do that. You should put your membership in heaven on the book of life, and there it'll be forever. Now, all churches, Christian churches, has good meanings. Every one of them, I believe. Every one of them has some truth. And I don't mean to try to say now that they don't have any truth or they don't have all truth. Sure. I believe, but if they believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that's the truth. Amen. Now, but what a man will do, he will hear a little something and keep moving his papers. Well, now, you'll never find Christ moving your papers. You have to move your thoughts. You have to move your thinking and get away from reasoning and move your thoughts from your own thinking to what God's thinking. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you. And then when you begin thinking His thoughts, you'll begin to live His life and do the things that He did. See what I mean? Now, because it's not you, it's Christ. That's why Jesus could say, he that believeth. Not he that reads it. Not he that talks it. But he that actually believeth in me, the works that I do, he's going to do, because it's no longer him. Because if he has my faith, then he's just let go and let God, like I did, Jesus is saying. You know, Jesus went to Calvary. But before he went to Calvary, he went to Gethsemane. And Brother Bram said in Gethsemane, he had his greatest victory. It's when he was able to die to himself and say, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. From the token, Brother Bram said, if the life of Christ lives in the person, they become identified with him. It's Christ in you. Not a church member, not a system, but a resurrected power. It's the Holy Ghost is a token upon you that your life says amen to every scripture. The promise is written in there. And you're not yourself no more. You are Christ. You don't think your own thoughts. You don't think your own thoughts. He says it twice. You say, I think. You have no thought coming. The life that was in Christ is in you. The mind that was in Christ is in you. The works that was in Christ is in you. And Christ himself is in you. You are dead. Your life is hid in God through Christ, sealed in there by the Holy Ghost. You're not your own. That's pretty good. Like I said Sunday, you know, we have a lot of people who say the greatest of all revelations. They're quoting Brother Branham, but they quote it wrong. They say the greatest of all revelations is the Godhead. He never said that. He never said that. We showed you Sunday where Brother Branham said the oneness, they organized and they died. He said the Trinitarians, they organized and they died. And he said, and the two-ness, they organized and they died. But before he said the two-ness organized, he said the two-ness, he said they organized the church of God, and they died. And I showed you that there's a group of the Church of God. They have their own Bible school, a college in Atlanta. It's called Atlanta Bible School. And in 1960, a man named Elva, I don't remember the last name now, but anyway, he wrote a book on systematic theology, and in it, he gave forth his definition of the Godhead as exactly what is being taught in the pulpits today. One God, he had a son. Every scripture that is used by the brethren, he used it. He did. I've had talks with those people. There's a pastor in Hutchinson, Minnesota. I've had talks with him. I've conferred with those people at the Bible school when I was doing the booklet on the Godhead. They believe everything except for one little thing, the pre-incarnate Jesus. But notice, Brother Branham never said the greatest of all revelations is the Godhead. Because every time something like that comes forth, whether it be oneness, two-ness, or three-ness, they organize around that, and he said that's when they die. He said the greatest of all revelations is the supreme deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can't get to the first base without that. Now, what does that mean? What is deity? Deity is God life. In other words, the greatest of all revelations is that God life was living in the Son. And that same God life is to live in you and me. That is the greatest of all revelations. You can argue Godhead until you're blue in the face with people. They've all got their theology. You've got your theology. It doesn't do you any good. What good does it do to be able to have a systematic theology? Didn't Brother Brown say why it had to be shepherds? Now think about a shepherd. Now I'm not going to say he's about as dumb as a box of rocks, but he can be. Doesn't have to be a brilliant scientist. He doesn't have to be even smart. But he has to love those sheep. And he loves those sheep so much. And he takes those sheep out. He cares for the sheep, and his whole life is living for those sheep. That's what God wants out of his children, to care for God's sheep, to love his sheep, to take care of them. He's not looking for a bunch of theologians. He's not looking for a bunch of high-minded people. God hides in simplicity. And so when Brother Branham said the greatest of all revelations is the deity, the supreme deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, he wasn't talking about the Godhead. He was talking about the life. What does the word deity means? Deity means is God life. It's God. Not Godhead, not Godhood, not theology. The life. We're his kids. If we got the Holy Ghost, we've got God life. The supreme deity lives in you. And Brother Brown said, you have enough deity in you to create worlds and go live on them. That's why you could do the works that he did. Because it's him doing it out of you. Just you're a vessel. From Queen of Sheba, Brother Brown said, Jesus had just been called Beelzebub. His ministry had been questioned. And he had discerned their thoughts and know what they were thinking. And isn't it wonderful in such a consolation to know tonight that he still knows our thoughts and what we're thinking? Your thoughts is louder in heaven than your voice on earth. For he is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. His word is sharper and quicker than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the thoughts of the mind. You know, and Brother Branham actually got that statement. Your thoughts are heard louder in heaven than your voice. You know who gave it to him? The angel of the Lord. Brother Branham said, I was watching some, and I don't remember the exact quote, but he said, I was watching this thing take place, and he spoke to me and said, your thoughts are heard louder in heaven than your words. From leadership, Brother Branham said, what do you look like? What are you following? What have we done? You must choose your leader. Choose today. You choose life or death. Your choice will determine your eternal destination, what you choose. Now remember, Jesus said, follow me. And you're invited tonight to do so, and to follow him to eternal life, you must come on his terms. That's right. And the word, not upon a creed, not upon public opinion, not upon what anybody else says about it, but on what God said about it. You say, well, Brother Bram, I know a woman just as good as she can be. She does this, and I know a man that went through this, and I can't help what they done. God's word. And he said, let every man's word be a lie and mine be truth. You've got to come on his terms, come on his conditions, the word. You cannot come through creed. You cannot come through denomination. You cannot mix it like that. There's only one thing that you can do, and that's accept it on his terms. That's you're willing to die to yourself and all of your thoughts and to follow him and get rid of all the things of the world and come follow me. Just that simple. From God hiding himself in simplicity, Brother Brown said, when you surrender fully, he'll come in fully. But until you surrender, he can't come in fully. So surrender. Surrender your thoughts. Surrender your thinking. Surrender your life. Surrender your all. Surrender your prestige. Surrender everything to him now. And he'll come in and fill you with the Holy Ghost. And from the message guide, he said, he doesn't want you to rely on your own understanding. God does not want you to rely on your own understanding, your own thoughts, or any man-made thoughts. He wants you to rely on him. Now that brings us to our next point, and that is that God knows your thoughts. So you can never fake it with him. He knows your thoughts if you're a hypocrite or not. In Proverbs 15:26 says, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. The thoughts of the wicked. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. Now how could they be an abomination unless he could know the very thoughts of the heart? And of course we know the scripture tells us he can. In Matthew 9:4, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? And in Psalm 139:23, and remember, many times Brother Bram said, now you can't hide your thoughts from me right now. Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. So our question is, how often in our prayer do we search our own heart to know if there be any wicked way in us? Because the only one that can show you where you've got any wicked way, which means a way which is contrary to God's way, is the Holy Ghost. Because he promised that if we be any otherwise minded, he would reveal it to us. Psalm 94:11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of a man, that they are vanity. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. He knows your very intentions. In Job 21:27. Behold, I know your thoughts and the devices which you wrongfully imagine against me. So in getting back to our main thought, which is you cannot possibly be right if your thoughts are not right first. Because out of the abundance of the heart comes forth what is good or what is evil. In Luke 6:45, Jesus said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like the man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So he's talking about hearing, recognizing, and then acting. Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. So out of the abundance of the heart, it's going to come forth. Matthew 15:19, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. And Mark 7:21, from within, out of the heart of men proceeds evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders. So it all comes from the heart. As Brother Brown said, you've got to think it before you can do it. Now notice that Jesus tells us the words we speak must come forth from the abundance of our heart. And the word heart, as we know, means the understanding, which is the compilation of, of all of our thinking. Therefore, our actions and speech are only the fruitage which comes forth to manifest the seed life therein. It's your fruits. So when you see people acting a certain way, now listen, Jesus said, I do that which I have seen of my Father. And you do that which you've seen of your Father. So the question comes, did they actually see with their eyes their Father? No. But their DNA seen it. In other words, it was, the every seed must bring forth after its kind. In Genesis 1:11, we see the law of reproduction that every seed must bring forth after its own kind or nature. Therefore, the life that is in the seed must become manifest. And therefore, whatsoever life is in the seed will come forth in an outward manifestation in due season. Our thoughts then are the seeds of our actions. And therefore, if a man is righteous, it is because he has righteous thoughts. Now, what if a person is basically persecuting bright? You say, well, it must not be bright. I'm not going to say that. You know why? Paul persecuted bright. You got to pray for those people. That God would actually get a hold of them. However, whatever way it takes. That God, if God has to lay them flat on their back, that he would do so. In Proverbs 23 and verse 7, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so we see that as a man is what he thinks in his heart. Therefore, man is literally what he thinks. And therefore, his character is the sum of all of his thoughts. As every plant springs forth from a seed that was hidden in the earth and could not have begun without a seed, so too every action that we do springs forth from a seed that was planted in our minds as a thought. Therefore, our actions manifest what lays within our heart. In Jeremiah 23 and 20, the Lord said, the anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days, you shall consider it perfectly. So if God has to perform what's in his heart, and as Irenaeus said, and Brother Vail quoted him so many times, it was all within God to do so. God had to do so. Well, your mind then is like a garden. We've talked about this before. And it's ordained to grow fruit, whether good or bad. It depends on what we do with it. In a natural garden, we plant the seeds that we want to bring to harvest. We cultivate our garden so that no weeds will grow in it. It takes a lot of work. But if we sow, we shall also reap. The problem is that there is another who also wishes to sow in our minds as well. And Jesus tells a parable of the two sowers who went forth sowing. The first, the Son of Man, and the other was the devil. The Son of Man sowed good seed, while the devil sowed bad seed or tares. Now, we are likened to a husbandman ourselves, who are responsible for our own garden. We are supposed to act as good stewards of the good seed which God placed in us. But if we're not really interested in what kind of harvest that we're going to reap, then we do not cultivate good seed. We just let them grow whatever grows. And this will result in weeds overtaking the seeds every time. Weeds will always outgrow the true planting of the Lord because, after all, they're wild. I think toward Brother Vail, the last very portion of his life, it finally dawned on him when the angel of the Lord said to Brother Branham, because you have chosen the harder way, there's a great portion. Because you've chosen. It was what he chose. And when he chose to go the harder way for God and for God's kids, that is what brings the fruit or the rewards on the other side. All you have to do is look at our nation, the welfare rolls that we see today. Most of the welfare today is due to illegitimate births. 69% of the blacks born today illegitimately. And I imagine the welfare rolls reflect the same numbers. And so we see that every deed is first committed in the heart or in the mind. The Bible tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Therefore, we are the product of our thoughts, just as any fruit is the product of the seed that was planted in the ground. That's why we're told to cast down any thought that would exalt itself against the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now in closing, notice we're told to bring every thought into the obedience of God to His Word. In Matthew 12:33, He said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruits. And Luke 3:8-9, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father, we have Lee Vale for our teacher, we have William Branham for our prophet. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth forth not good fruit, is hewn down and will be cast into the fire. So if we are righteous, it is because we think righteous thoughts. And if you have your source from God, then you will not be able to help but to think God's thoughts. Now remember the parable of the two sowers. They both sowed seed, but the seed from the Son of Man was called the good seed. And we see that the good plant will only produce good fruit. In Matthew 7:17-19, even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And Luke 6:43-45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. But an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So it's not so much what you say. It's not so much what you do. It's what's in here to begin with. And if this is producing a lot of negative, if this is producing a lot of bad words, a lot of evil out of the mouth or in your actions, that's evil. It's got to die. It hasn't died yet. We've been focusing on this for quite a while now. But we need to come to the place where we simply are willing to let go and let God. Come to the place of just death. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We realize, Lord, as Brother Bram said, we pound the nail until it takes a hold. I just pray, Father, you'd help us, Lord, to, as a body of Christ, just to die to ourselves and allow the life, allow the head, which is your Son, Jesus, his Spirit living in us, to be our guide. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee.